the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Know he that the Lord, he is God. For it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. And guess what? You better bless his name. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. You all may be seated. Hallelujah. Look, the Lord is good. He is worthy to be praised. Let me tell you one thing. I may tell you a couple of things. I'm going to give you a message today. A message that you heard before, maybe a few weeks or a few months ago, I don't know. But the Lord kept bringing me back to this. He says, I asked him not to record it because the whole message is already on YouTube. So the outside will get it. But today, this is between the Lord and us. Between the Lord and us. I'm just going to see, just going to say exactly what he wants me to say. And, matter of fact, you can turn your Bibles to John chapter 11, because you all know the story. Mm-hmm. You know the story. You know, the testimonies of the day were very encouraging. The outcome, by the testimony, people that we had prayed with, prayed for, some have been canceled. How God stepped in. But see, the thing about God, he wants to step in every time we come into this place. He wants, he's ready and willing to bless each and every one of us. But you know, it all starts with one thing. That is worship and praise. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and unto his court with praise. Be thankful unto the Lord and bless his most holy name. I repeated a song. I've learned it in the third grade. My third grade teacher, her name was Miss Parker. And because of the Spirit of the Lord, I remember that. See, y'all don't know, I could stand here on Sundays, wanted to call somebody to pray. I see most of you every Sunday and talk to most of some of you every week. And did not call your name because I wasn't able to. Because I couldn't remember to.
Go ahead, Pastor.
You know, it's a frightening experience. See, I talk to people sometimes. And all I got to say, you know, I leave the kitchen. And before I could leave the kitchen and get to the room that I want to get in, what I went for is gone. But God proved one thing for me. All last week was just about the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So God proved one thing to me. And that is, we are family.
Yes.
Yeah. We are family.
Yes, we are.
Last week, we prayed. I'm talking about personally prayed for. I know you all have prayed for certain things. But everybody who had told me to lift them up in prayer, I'd lift them up in prayer. I was up 3:30 in the morning, sometimes 2, sometimes 4:30. And after that, I struggled with the message of the day. I didn't know, Lord, I've done this. And he just came last night to let me know. He said, I got this. It's for you and the congregation. I said that before because I knew those songs back, the first song, the 23rd song, and the 100th song. I knew them backwards and forward. I've been repeating them all my life. But the last few years, I couldn't remember a thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As often as we did that, I couldn't remember. I could go, I could start it, but where I go from there is just. And the thing I thought about was some of my family members had passed and some have dementia. But I canceled that assignment. In the natural, under the S-U-N sign, whatever come about that nature has or the devil has to put upon you, you are acceptable to it. You have no way out of it. You can't get over it. I want to remember, but I can't. But when you go above to the S-U-O-N sign, the spiritual things, my spiritual father, I can remember everything that I ever done from kindergarten all the way up. But I had to be in the natural. I couldn't do it. Only in the spiritual. And I said that because this week we prepared everyone. I heard from the prayers that we prayed for some people. And heard from the testimonies how God delivered them. They feel clean, renewed, restored, regenerated. People who have lost people, the family members, their joy, hopefully haven't heard it from anyone yet, but has been restored.
Amen.
And the prayer that my sister prayed this morning, the family, and that Elijah that has lost, we pray she prayed for the family.
Yes.
With the spirit of her, when she came in here, I want to tell you, her spirit has been renewed. Her spirit has been restored. Why? Because God said so. We need a lot of things in this church. We have gone, we have suffered a lot of circumstances. But God says he loved us. He said we are on the right track, but we got to get everybody. He wants everybody to participate, but you're not going to have everybody. So he's giving us another chance. But if you watch the news, watch anything, what's going on in the world, it's soon to come back. This familiar story, and I may break a few times because the Lord can speak in between whenever he gets something to speak, because I really don't know. I don't have anything to say but to read the scriptures we all can do that. But what he has to say to you based on these scriptures, he'll come in at any time. He has the freedom to come in at any time to say to us, not only to y'all, to us, anything he want to say.
Amen.
See, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into a realm of the supernatural.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Which means you have access. We have access to the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. Where God really shines, where he really comes out. But see, this morning, this starts off with, if you don't start right, there's no way you can finish right.
Yeah.
When you got that door, he says, you give him all honor, all glory, and all praise. And so how do you do this when I'm feeling bad? We come here all the time, not everybody, but some says, I'm coming in and I want prayer for this. I want the Lord to do that. He got to do this because I am in need. I'm in desperate need of some things. My health is failing. Lord, you got to come in and help me. When I come in there, in here in the morning, I can come across that door. This is happy. First of all, I meet Miss Lottie. She has a smile on her face, and I know what she's going through.
Amen.
It's something when somebody's in your family. We don't know the outcome. My prayer has been for Sister Lottie. God's perfect will has to be done for her daughter. But it's Sister Lottie that needs to go through and stand on her. Even she said, I talked to her a little bit Friday. She mentioned it several times. I stay in church because I'll be around you all. It's your being around the church. That's why the saints, that's where I get my strength. But when you're alone, it's a different story. When you're alone, you need somebody to talk to. You need somebody to call. When you're alone, you need the saints. You need the spiritual move of God over your life. I cried for everybody that I prayed for. But you know how, but it wasn't until my little granddaughter, they gave me blow by blow, gave us blow by blow pictures of her and giving us reports. You know, she had heart surgery. Anyone know that? But the saints were praying for her. And as they were coming, and as she was, I couldn't look at a picture anymore without crying. The Lord is saying, that's how we should be with every member of our church.
Amen.
Every, you know, we have church members that are closer to us than our family. When something go wrong with them, it go wrong with us. I cried for my little girl. I cried for Pastor Tony's brother, his father, everyone that's going through, Sister Lottie, what she's going through, Sister Bernice, everybody that I thought that the Lord bring across my heart that had a problem that needed to, they needed the stone moved away.
That's right.
I prayed for. That's why when somebody said pray for somebody, I prayed for them once. If I pray it, seriously pray for and cry for it, I thank God. If I get a little weak, God, I thank you that you're moving. If I get a little weak knee, God, you are the one. You are the chief physician. You never lost a patient. God says he loved this church. But he wants everybody to participate. He is about to pour out his spirit that y'all not going to have room enough to receive. Miracle upon miracle in this church. It's going to get to the part, God knows your heart. It's going to get so serious that all we have to do is thank it and believe that he's already done it. It's done. Let me summarize some of the story. So, God, I'm sorry. If I got ahead of you, I'm sorry. But you're just an exciting father. Martha and Mary, John chapter 11, have called Jesus to heal their brother Lazarus, who was sick. Jesus said his sickness is not unto death. We come in here, we step across the threshold, giving God, not asking anything when we come in, just giving God the glory, God the honor, God the praise. And we don't cut him slack. Because once the blessings start to flow, he don't cut us any slack. Don't hold up your miracle. See, that scenario of the story up until this point, and if truth be told, there are someone here today who have been disappointed, who has been let down, because you know God told you something. You know you asked him for something, and it just hadn't arrived yet. Okay, God, what you saying? Have you denied? Well, common sense, if the Lord has said it, if the Lord spoke it,
yes.
If he says you're going to receive it,
right.
You don't have to worry about it anymore. But we do. Why? You're taking too long.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 38, so Jesus began being deeply moved within himself. He came to the tomb. Now, it was a cave. And the stone, a heavy stone, was rolled up against it. Jesus was being deeply, deeply disturbed by the pain, the anguish, and the emotion of what he was dealing with in the life of Martha and Mary. He shared the pain of Martha and Mary, but let me tell you one. See, God shares our pain.
Yes, he does.
He knows our pain.
Yes, he does.
This is just an example of how great God is. See, he knows our pain. He shares our pain.
Yes.
But let me tell you something about Jesus' emotions. While Jesus sympathizes with our emotions, he sympathizes with our infirmities.
Yes.
In Hebrews chapter 4, Jesus would never let her emotions, Jesus would never let our emotions govern his theology. He would feel it, but he would not let how he felt about it determine what he did. Because his commitment to God's truth is to override his emotions at that moment. See, God crying for us. He intercede for us. He does all these things. So he is crying with her, but at the same time, he is moved by the scenario. He is anguished about the situation, but at the same time, he now seeks to address the problem. He moved with our crying. His crying. If we sad, he is sad. If we are joyful, he is joyful. But what we are asking and what he wants us to do, he doesn't govern his theology on that. See, we know somebody that feel that's going on, that had problems and bad. We say, oh, Lord, I want to help them. You do all we can to help them. I just don't have the things to help them. I can't, it's nothing I can say that would help them. And nothing happens. Because what? We're depending on ourselves to help him. But there's a point where we can. All right, Lord, I'm jumping too fast. I'll slow up. Martha's mouth, very talkative, because she is the talkative one. She says, Jesus, Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time, he stinketh. Because it's been 4 days. 4 days. I told you earlier. You didn't show up. And she did what most of us do when Jesus issues a command that we neither like or understand. She enters the conversation with human logic, like we do. She enters the conversation with human logic. God says to us, to me, don't miss this. Everything she was feeling, everything that she said, don't you know she was correct? Jesus heard her do what he hears us when we either do not like or don't understand his instructions. We argue back with him with human logic. That may be absolutely true, what we were thinking and what we said, what Martha said. Your facts may be impeccable. You are absolutely correct, Martha. 4 days, he's dead. Or the word we like to use today, what's that word we use? It's not dead or alive, we transcendent. But she didn't have that word back in her day. He was dead. He does stink. Everything that she was saying back to Jesus was the truth. Jesus said to her, "Did not I say to you?" Let me stop right there. Can you hear this? Are you paying attention to this? See, nothing will block the supernatural movement of God in your life like your logic and our education.
Go ahead, Pastor. Come on. Very good. Go ahead, Pastor.
Some of us have educated ourselves out of the supernatural. We're just too smart for God, too intelligent for heaven, too brilliant for the kingdom of God. And so we live with our logic. And we live only in the natural. Didn't I say to you, can't you hear me, girl? What did you say, Jesus? Maybe I missed it. Did I say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Didn't I say to you that if you believe, you will see? Believing? Believing is seeing. Most people say believing is seeing. He didn't say, if you see, would you believe? He says, if you believe, you would see.
Amen.
I mentioned this because of a state, Missouri. And it says most Christians must be from Missouri. They got to see first before they believe. In a natural, you see before you believe. That is in the natural. Not so in the spirit, supernatural. In the supernatural, if you believe, you will see. What would you see? Oh, answer simple. You will see the glory of God. The glory of God is God revealing himself.
Amen.
Is God bringing us out of our circumstances? The glory of God is when God advertises himself. The glory of God is when God puts himself or his attributes on a billboard so all could see God at work. But you will not see it in the physical until you believe it in the supernatural. See, you and I are blocking our miracle with human logic. And even if it's correct what we said, if it's our logic, we just trump what God said.
Amen.
You have just done what Matthew 13 says. Matthew 13, it says, he did not do many miracles because of their unbelief. So you will be limited. I will be limited. We collectively will be limited to the natural when we don't remove the stone. And the stone represents whatever we may, circumstances that we may be going through. That is when we do not act on what God has said, whether we understand it or not, whether we can figure it out or not, whether we like it or not. And that is when often happen with Christians. We limited ourselves to the natural because we can't figure out how God is going to do this. This thing is so big. Somebody naturally going to have to help me because God can't. We in our own logic, God can't perform this. This is nothing new. I started off in church. My logic was the same way before I started getting into the spiritual things of God. See, I came up where they didn't believe that God was, it wasn't a supernatural God. He was God. But the things that God does and the things that God did, we weren't able to do. That's God. I didn't know that he was the great doctor, the great physician. I didn't know that if I had a need, and I'm serious about that need, I didn't know any of everything I thought was logic, was natural. But until I learned what was available to us after being saved, after being filled to overflow, I like to say to overflowing with his spirit, all that became available to us. So he still, I don't think God can really believe what he just heard Martha say. So didn't I say to you that you would see with your own eyes the glory of God, but you won't see the supernatural until you believe, and you believe by doing what I told you to do. We have failed, we have counseled. We always use the Bible for counseling. God says to do this based on whatever you're going through, whatever you're getting counseling for. We tell you, read this, this, and this, and we'll see you next week, and we'll talk about this, this, and this. Trying to move natural out the way. Needless to say, very few counselors failed because they wouldn't do what the Lord said.
Amen.
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 Lord always told me that obedience was better than sacrifice. Not because something naturally seemed to be permissible, I can do it, but God says don't do it. Who do you think I'm going to listen to? I'm glad y'all answered that way. God is saying, I will wait. He didn't say he won't do it. He said, Tover, I said, I will wait. I will wait until you decide to believe. I will wait until you decide that you are not going to just throw facts my way like I don't know what I'm talking about. I created the world. That's what he's saying. I mean, that's what his mouth is something. I created the world. And here you are trying to describe biology to me. He said, let me tell you something about God's will. God has a revealed will. Y'all with me? That's what he says in the Bible. And he has a secret will. Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says that the secret things belong to God. He has revealed them, and there, here it is. You cannot get to God's secret will if you have ignored his revealed will. In other words, he says, move the stone or whatever it is in your situation. He tells you what to do. But you have to see what he is doing, going to do before you move the stone. If you have to see that, you have to believe that, you will never see what he is going to do. Because he'll keep secret his secret will until he sees you believe his revealed will. So, if you don't know what he said, he won't show you what he is up to. If you're disobedient to what he said, he won't show you what he is up to. You know, we serve an unfigureoutable God. You just can't figure God out. His ways are so far from our ways. His thoughts are so far from our thoughts. That's in Isaiah 55. So you can't figure him out. What is he going to do? How is he going to do it? Before I move the stone, let me try to figure this thing out. You know, you can figure stuff out and the biggest Excedrin headache you'll get, trying to figure out what God's going to do. Now watch this. In verse 41, so they removed the stone. See, there are people who were brought alongside to help her to move something that she couldn't move by herself. That's why you need the church.
Amen.
That's why you need people around you who will help you move the stone that you can't move by yourself.
Amen.
That's why people who know it's a hard thing for them, that's how they come up and ask for prayer. Because somebody who can get their hands on God, who can touch God to bring God's what supernatural back down in this natural world to help them with their problem. Because they cannot move this. This thing is burdening me so much I can't do it by myself. But God can. Things can be so depressing, look so hard, look so it never can happen. But if God says to remove that stone, he shows you what to do in his word. If he speaks to you audibly, if he speaks in a quiet, still voice, however he speaks to you, most of the time he speaks to you, God speaks to us through his word. And that's what he's doing with us today, because sometimes we miss it. That's why we hear the same message preached by different people, but all the time, if I'm standing, Lord, I don't know nothing. I know a little bit about this message, but Father, somebody else preach it, and I just learn something. Because whenever I get and sit in front of somebody who is preaching the word, I don't care how simple I think it is, I don't care, I'm learning something.
Amen.
Why? Because it was William last week who says, the potter and the clay. You know what happened? You the first thing thought about? Why, if God is the potter and we are the clay and we get damaged sometime through life, why do we get off the clay, off the pot? Why can't we stay on the spinning wheel and let God fix the little cracks that we have? It sounds simple the way you put it, but God says, that's what I want my people to do. Don't get off this thing until if I raise you up off it, then you're good. I lift you up off it, you go, and somebody says something, somebody done something, or the world says something to you, or was against you, you got sick or something, you cracked, you got bruises, get back on this thing, let me patch it up. Everyone in here should be getting help to move a stone, or helping somebody else to move the stone. Because if you're helping somebody else, that means you got folk who can help you. You got folk who loves you. You have folk who think enough about you to love you enough. That's what the God kind of love. They may not talk to you that much, but they got to love you enough to help you get from under whichever stone that you have to move. That's what the church is supposed to be. And so they helped her move the stone. But it gets a little deeper than that. Because they helped her move the stone. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 35, that Jesus is our intercessor. The Bible says in Romans 8:27, the Holy Spirit is our intercessor according to the will of God. So it has to be God's will, of course. God just doesn't do everything. He wants to because he wants to do it. But there is something to this. There's a lot of things in God, God's will, he is waiting to do after he has seen our faith. Verse 41 says, then Jesus raised up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you that you have heard me. Let me put it another way. Let me say what he didn't say. He didn't say, Father, I thank you that you are hearing me. No, you have to learn what these tenses in this Bible mean. See, we got past tense and we got present tense. Present tense, see, he's talking to you now. See, he had already told us what to do. So I thank you, God, that you have heard me. And by faith, we believe he have heard, because if we didn't hear, we would not. He wouldn't do what he said he was going to do.
Hallelujah.
So we know what we are hearing from God. When Jesus said to the Jews, before Abraham was, he said, I am. That's tense matters. Not I was, now I am, which was the name God gave Moses. That I am. I am that I am. So tenses does matter. He says, thank you, Father, for you have already heard me. See, which means whatever he is getting ready to talk about, he has previously discussed with the Father. God, you and I discussed this earlier. Stay with me now. We kind of get a hint of that discussion in chapter 11, verse 3. And the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom the love is sick, whom you love is sick. Verse 4, but when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. So let's look at what happened here. I thank you, God, that you've already heard me. Mm-hmm. Me and the Father had our talk. We talked good, serious stuff. In other words, when they sent word to me, God, about the need of a miracle, Jesus and the Father had a meeting. You know, we preached one time on our tent meeting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to have a meeting. Because
right.
In the tent meeting, Moses, every time they come out the tent, he couldn't even walk out the tent. What did the Lord say? What did the Lord say? Moses ended up saying, you have your own tent meeting. God will tell you what he told me. You have your own tent meeting.
Yeah.
So I went home, brought me a gazebo. That was my tent. I got to patch it up and I could weather beat it up a little bad. But I love to study out in there. In other words, they sent word to him about the need of a miracle. Jesus and the Father already had that meeting, already discussed this thing. We agreed that when we saw faith, we were going to do a supernatural thing. But even though you and I have had a meeting in the spiritual realm, they are not going to see what we agreed on in the physical realm until a bridge of faith is built. So that my intercession for them becomes you bringing the past what has already been spoken about, what has already we have agreed on. God will not bring it to pass until we get our faith in order. So why is that important for us to know? That your supernatural miracle, whatever it is God's will to do, has already been agreed upon in the spiritual realm. That means you do not have to beg God for nothing.
Amen.
You don't have to beg God for something that he has already agreed with the Father about.
Come on.
It's not you waiting on God. It's he has already agreed. You need this, you need that. God has already agreed upon it. It's him waiting on us to move the stone so he can get what he's already agreed on to get that to us. He called the intercession of the Son and the Holy Spirit, bringing into the physical realm what he has previously been agreed on in the spiritual realm once faith has been exercised, even if it has to overrule logic and correct logic. This is the intercession of God. What a great truth that God stands like a defense attorney between the client and the jury to plead our case about something that has already been agreed upon in the spirit realm. Don't we all sometimes say God is the judge? You know, when we go through stuff, I think about silly stuff sometimes. Here comes the judge. Things go bad, here comes the judge. Because I've been to the judge and he already agreed, so I'm not going to no prison that Satan trying to get me in. I'm not doing no mess that trying to get me in, because my judge,
hallelujah,
Chief Justice Judge,
hallelujah,
is on the scene,
hallelujah,
pleading my case. That's why the Bible says he's already been in the end. He's been in the end. Now he's backed up to the beginning. So he already knows where this thing is going. But faith activates it in your experience. You are trapped. Does the scenario stink? Is the only hope for this thing is a resurrection? It's the only hope. If it is, you qualify for the supernatural. Watch this. Verse 43. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! If we were there, and he didn't call our loved one or somebody else's loved one by name, everything in the funeral and in the graveyard will come up. Great, great granddad, I read about you. What you doing around here? It's nothing but a skeleton. That's why he is so specific about what he does and when he calls. What he requested was a specific answer to a specific request, not a general answer that applies to everybody. When you need a miracle, you don't say, it's not for everybody. When you need a miracle, it's for you. Everybody don't need what you need.
That's right.
Lord, it could be something simple like a car. Lord, I need a car. We all need a car. You might as well say we all need a car because I wasn't specific about it. Then your neighbor got a car. Well, mine. You had to wait for it. That goes to show you have to be, when we ask or go to God, we have to be specific. Oh, by the way, that's how you know it's God, when he calls it by your name. You know it's God. Lazarus, a specific answer to a specific need in a specific situation predicated on a specific request. Lazarus, come forth. Now watch this now. I don't know. No, I don't want you to miss this. Getting ready to close in a little bit. But don't miss this because it says, the man who had died came forth. Lazarus, he came forth. The man who had died came forth. He came forth bound hands and feet with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with cloth. Jesus said to them, the bystanders, the onlookers, unbind him and let him go. Okay. Okay, why did he do that? We got help to help Martha and Mary move the stone. He says, Lazarus, come forth. He came forth all right. Listen, he came forth, but he didn't come forth walking. He came forth, his legs were tied, so he was doing that shuffle everybody doing, the old people doing. Because his legs were tied. His hands were tied. His head was bound up. They said, take the wrappings off. Untie him. Because he was still wrapped in dead clothes. Now, watch this. He was alive, but he was not liberated because he was still tied up.
Amen.
Now, he had a miracle because the man was alive. The miracle was what was dead is still now alive. So he comes walking. He was tied up, and guess what Jesus says to a small group of people? He says, untie him. Unhook his arms. Unwrap his head. Untie his feet. Because I want the other folk to participate in my miracle. Your miracle for you is not just for you.
Amen.
That's why I ask a lot of times when you come in here, you ask for prayer, people are still praying, even when you go home, people that remember that thing still praying for you that God will bring forth this miracle that you so desperately need, that you so desperately want. You don't come back out here and say nothing. And when you do that, God says you will not get another one. Because he did it not only for you, but you have to advertise this thing. You have to go tell somebody about this thing. Second Corinthians 2 and chapter 6, it says, we are co-workers with him. He will do what we can't do. He wants us to do what we can't do. So that we can become partners in the supernatural miracle working process. We keep saying we are the only God people can see. But you fail to operate in what the God that they can't see can do. He uses people to bless people. You need money? It may grow on your tree on your backyard, but I doubt it. He would touch somebody else who know nothing about it. And said, the Lord says to give you this. And sometimes we be so proud. We say, no, don't do that. And I always tell them, look, you're going to take this money if I have to make you eat it? Because God is going to bless me. Don't worry about my blessing. Don't worry about it. If he told me to give it to you,
right,
you receive it. God's going to bless me. Don't worry about that. If he blessed me with enough to give it to you, he'll bless somebody else enough to give it to me when I'm in need. That's how it works. That's why tithes and offerings are so important. People say, I can't afford to pay tithe. Well, somebody said, you cannot afford. Don't you know, it's a proven fact Before I learned all this, I started going to church paying dues. But when I learned the truth, I can do more on 90% than I can on the 100% to try to keep the spin, thinking I have to do this. You know, I don't care how much, if you have bills, until you be obedient to what God said, it's not going to work. I mean, I'm talking about life here. I think I said in one message, how many rich people are miserable? Because they're rich without God.
Amen.
I don't care what I saw something on in Facebook. They show these huge houses. I mean, one, I think I told Linda, this house had 17 bathrooms. And some had 20 car garages. It was empty. Why? Because they were miserable. It's not doing them any good. So we're going to see if I can't. They're still working in the natural. I need more money. So if I can sell this thing for whatever millions they want, maybe that'll make me happy. I can go do something else. How many of you have, if you've gotten a used car, it's new to me. If I got a used one, got a new car, and man, you love that car. I mean, the car was nice. But you know, after about a year, you don't wash it like you used to. You need tires, you don't change oil, you don't pull the maintenance that you used to. Because the Lord is saying, that's not life. Believing in any animated thing, anything that's not God, is not life without God. I love your testimony. Don't say nothing. Because in Jess's testimony, she got that truck, she was just as happy, she could go back and forth, with it, but when something happened, she know and learned that's not life. But once God came into the picture, God, did you know God was the chief mechanic? Don't you know one day I pulled out of my yard going to work, I was working at Philip Morris, and all my, I had a transmission leak. I saw it, when I got to work, I had no problems. I got back home, I didn't have any transmission fluid that would touch the dipstick. You know where it started? All that transmission started when I left home. But I got to work and came back. I didn't notice any change in the transmission, but when he showed me, I had to do something about it.
That's right.
He said, I'm showing you, in other words, I'm telling you, this is the problem. Now you go out there, believe in me, after I done showed you, you're in trouble. You may go ahead and call a record now, because you ain't going to make it far. God Miracle Church, God wants us to become a family.
Amen.
A close family.
Amen.
Did you know nobody's going to make you praise God? If I make you praise God, you know what it is? You're not praising because in your heart you know you have to. You're praising God because somebody asked you. It's just like me asking, I'm trying to make you pay tithe. You don't want to. God says you may well keep it. It's not going to do you any good. Same thing with your coming, stepping across there, praising God. You know, I wrote something down. When I come across that pulpit, door, come through the door, my mind is already, not when I get to church, I want God to do this. I want God to do that. Oh, yes, God, don't forget this. When I come across that door, my mind is thinking about, Lord, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I said I get joy when I think about. I get deep with what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. And when I call, come across that door, come through that door, I'm ready for praise and worship.
Amen.
I don't care how long it takes. I'm ready for praise and worship. Sometimes praise can be an hour. But if God does things in decency and order. Because if everybody come and praise, and you praise for whatever length it goes, don't you know your word is not going to be but short? Because he's ready to deliver, because why, you praised him already. You come out there and you said, I'm having this. I want the Lord to pray for me. You pray for me, because the Lord says nothing wrong with prayer. Don't get me wrong. But if you are saved, sanctified, filled with God's Holy Spirit, you have access to the supernatural. See, I know that's why we had so many great testimonies this morning. All right, Lord, what else you want to say? Oh, boy, boy, boy. All I can say is he's good. God's going to bless us. I mean, we can't fathom how much God's going to bless us. We can't even think about how much. You know what he always said? He didn't say this place was going to be full. He didn't say it was going to be packed. But it has been. If we have gotten everybody here to join, this would be too small.
Amen.
But see, they left for whatever reasons. But believe me, it wasn't because I didn't love them. It wasn't because the congregation that's left didn't love them. It wasn't that the congregation that's left could retreat them as family. It wasn't that what we had, they had, if it was going to help them get through what they need. That's what family is all about. God says y'all are on the right trail. But see, when we know this word and we come in here and don't do this word, we're in trouble. He doesn't just bless you for you. He blesses you for his name, his glory, and your impact. Your testimony, your ministry. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When you get your supernatural miracle, you better open up your mouth.
Hallelujah.
And you better declare the greatness of your God. Because only your God can go into your grave and raise you up and give you life. You better glorify him, that you got to glorify what's due him. You notice that a couple of those songs that I was waiting for some more. Because they were getting heated up one time. But see, God knows this is going to be. What they sung was praising him. What they did, it was serious about it. What they did, it wanted you to, oh Lord, this is great. It gave you a chance to raise your hands. It gave you a chance to sing and shout.
Come on.
It wasn't that shout that if our spirit was just jumping up and down. Yeah. And don't all have to see. That's where we make a big mistake. We think that every time the spirit move in the church, you got boom, 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 boom. Oh, no. A teeming cymbal. It just don't, it's now to nothing. All the time he's moved. If you come across that door, the threshold, giving him all the glory, honor and praise,
yes. Yes.
He will give you what you ask.
Yes, yes,
sometimes you sit down. I know it's this evening in music, but we were sitting down because these are people that had a testimony.
Yes.
They were praising him, but the music wasn't that. It don't take that jumping, bumping music to make God move. He's already destined. He's already agreed with the Father what he was going to do today. But they sung. You all sung. And that's all God asks. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for this day.
Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you are about to do in this place. Father, just thank you for, oh, just for your congregation that loves you, Lord. I thank you for a loving family, Lord. I thank you for a family that's so loving, Lord. You whatever you bless them with, if they can help somebody else, even a testimonial, Lord, that you have brought them through, it does a lot. Even when they walk, Lord, we keep your spirit in us, Lord. Even when we walk, and like my wife said, and she ministered, she said, even the very presence will fill the atmosphere with you, Lord. Father, anytime you have a man that he can walk by and his shadow pass over you and you heal, Lord, I know your spirit is moving just like today. Just by being in the presence of somebody and they feel your presence. They feel something different about you. You can't even go to dinner. Let somebody look over there. I had to come over here and say something to you because y'all are different. Y'all go to church, don't you? We have had that to happen. Lord, I thank you.
Thank you.
That when we come in here, it's not what we want when we cross that threshold is what we have to give you.
Amen.
That's the honor, glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, let the church shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord, you're good. Sheila, I know something else is coming up. Then you had something else coming up, Linda? You had. Okay, can I just get my brother Ho on the drums? Hey, Sheila, can I get you to come over here and praise and just to close out with, close this mess, not all of it, we're going to close this part out with praise. All right? Because me and my brother, we've been trying so hard, but the Lord just had me, just been here. He opened the door for us now, brother. I love you, man. All right.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to just stand up and lift up the name of Jesus. Well,
instead of praising. Okay, I'll let you know, okay?
Yeah, you put yourself together, man.
Again.
You too, Pastor.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.